This is Walt Disney World Today. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
It's Monday, September 29th, 2014, and this is episode 1,402 of the WDW Today podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from Mickey Mouse Podcast and TouringPlans.com, and with me on the show from TouringPlans.com is Len Testa. Hello, Len. How are you?
I'm so relaxed today, Mr. Scopa. Thank you for that gentle, quiet, peaceful introduction.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like I'm just bathing in lavender. I don't know. It just feels so good.
It's quiet. It's calm.
Yeah, right. It's just, it's almost as if we've slowed down the pace, you know, stopped to smell the roses, so to speak. That's true. Also with us, of course, as always, the man who makes us sound so good from Mouse World Radio, Mike Newell. Mr. Newell, hello.
You know, it's so calm and quiet that I didn't even hear the ad read.
Yeah, you noticed? I'm pretty soft on that. We'll have to do that. Well, you'll hear it again. I'm sure you'll hear it somewhere in this podcast.
Oh, I thought I just sleeping through it or something because it was so calm around here.
No, it's just I'm just pretty smooth. I don't read it fast. I don't read it loud.
You are, and you don't skip your words. And yeah, I like this.
I'm a pro.
Are you free to full time?
You'll have to speak to my agent.
Ah.
Also with us, speaking of magic, speaking of someone who really gets things done, the one and only Annette Owens from MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Hello, Annette.
Hey, I feel like we should have some light classical music going in the background, a little bit of clinking of some glasses or something. I don't know. This is just
a little David Foster, maybe, or a little Jim Brickman.
You know? This is nice.
This is very, very nice. But
let's send Matt away again.
Yes, and never send for him to come back. So it's time for us to figure out what we're going to talk about, and that didn't take long. We've talked about a lot of things in the past, and one of the things that always keeps coming up is we find ourselves always second-guessing any of the decisions that are made by the Walt Disney Company, especially when it comes to Walt Disney World, and we always talk about certain things. And so we thought we'd just put it all together tonight and talk about what we think are correctable mistakes. And when we talk about correctable mistakes, we're talking about things that may have taken place over the last decade or so that we are questioning and we are wondering, you know, maybe that should not have been added. Maybe that should not have been taken away. Or maybe that should have not changed. And we're talking about restaurants. We're talking about attractions. We're talking about resorts. We're talking about policies. We're talking about a lot of things. So we're going to spend some time talking about that tonight, and we would like to hear from you too. So feel free to email us and let us know what you think. But we're going to start off. Len, do you want to start us off, or would you like me to start off?
No, I'll be happy to start. You know, I think one of the things that they could fix is with a dining plan where you've got the table service meal and you've got an entree, a dessert, and a drink. You should be able to change that for that dessert for an appetizer if you wanted, right? Because more people like appetizers, or switch things around. They should be able to tell you, like, you know, you can forfeit two snacks on one particular meal for an appetizer at a sit-down restaurant or the dessert at the sit-down restaurant. There should be a way to convert meals of different kinds to equivalent things in other parts of the meal. So, like, again, if I wanted to trade three snacks for an appetizer at a table service meal, I should be able to do that, right? The money's the same, right?
And so, go ahead.
And for Disney, that's really just figuring out what is the value of each component of the meal, and do I have enough money left in my plan to cover it?
So you're saying doing it on the fly. So, for instance, today I'm not really feeling like I need a full dinner. I can get by the day with just appetizers or something like that, or quick service. Can I take one of my entrees and say, you know, turn this into two appetizers or turn this into two quick service
That's a great example. I don't want, you know, a 16-ounce steak. I'd rather have three appetizers or two appetizers or whatever, because those things are, you know, they're either smaller portions, they look more appealing to me, or whatever. Or again, you know, we've heard stories of this happening to people all the time. I'm at the end of my trip. I've got 16 snack credits left over. You know, now I'm just buying stuff to make sure that I don't waste the money on the plan. Well, you know, maybe if there's a little bit more flexibility, which again can be built into the plan. If there's a little bit more flexibility, maybe you wouldn't have those things left over.
Like a point system.
A point system, exactly.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've got to say, for me, I just don't see where a table service meal would even work for me, because I tend to, when I go out to eat, I tend to get a salad and an appetizer.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So it just doesn't even work for me. The portion sizes are humongous.
And that's really, if they did it so that, you know, you could mix and match different things, which again is just computer programming. It's not like, you know, it's overly complicated. I think that would be a lot more flexible, and people could see more value that way.
Yeah, I like the idea of the point system, because it's rather simple. It's easily it's got to be the easiest thing to be flexible with. So you say, okay, this and what if you also had the option of buying as many points as you want. You're not limited, so you can buy as little.
That's a great one. You know, buy the dining plan, but only for a certain number of days on your trip, rather than your whole day.
You have to have. But my guess, Len, is that if you were going to do that, you would probably need a floor. You would need a threshold that you have to, like, a minimum.
Yeah. There's a minimum, then, you know, 10 or 12 point, or, you know, maybe there's a minimum 2-day buy-in on your trip, you know, or something like that, right? Yeah, 2 days, 10 points, whatever the minimum is, right? But yeah, that's all doable. And it adds so much more flexibility to the plan.
I think you're right. Annette?
Well, I have several, but I'm going to go to one that I actually got to experience. We have this gorgeous castle suite in the castle. But
is that the castle suite is? The castle suite's in the castle?
I thought it was off property.
It's gorgeous, and all the money they spend on it and all of that. And not that I think it should be out there for, you know, Tom Cruise to take Suri to Disney. I just think there should be other ways that they use that. They spend an awful lot of time. We spent, what, a year giving it away every night to people to go stay, but now it just sits there.
Yeah, I often wondered if they could use that suite in a way to benefit charity, like every month have a drawing. Have people go on site and contribute to whatever charity. And those who enter have a chance of staying a night in the park, in the suite. So you offer one a month. So you offer 12 every year.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I know my girls and I have talked about this, because they were part of a children's hospital. We were in and out of Duke all the time. There's a great children's hospital right there in Orlando. How sweet would it be for them to get away one night and stay in the castle?
Yep.
Or make a wish. Let the make a wish child that's going down there, maybe they want to stay in the castle. And again, use the charity component. I'm sure we could raise a lot of money. I mean, look at what the ice bucket did. I'm sure Disney fans would pay some money to, you know.
Do you know the ALS with the ice bucket challenge has already made $20 million more this year than they did all of last year? Yeah. And the year isn't over yet.
That's amazing. Hmm. But it's just a waste, and there's just so much possibility that could happen with it. And
I agree. I think that this one comes under the heading of too much too soon and not enough testing. I really think that the FastPass Plus combined with the Magic Bands rollout, I think, was premature. I think that there were many plans to do a lot of things to have all types of versatility regarding the Magic Bands and FastPass Plus. But I really think that they went through the phases too quickly. I think that they should have rolled it out much slower than they did. I also think that there's some waste with the Magic Bands. I won't tell you who, but we all know there's someone out there in Orlando who's very much an expert on this. And there are things that I've talked with him about, and I didn't know. For instance, if you already have, Mike, here's something for you. If you already have a Magic Band or seven of them,
and or 25,
and you check in, do you know you can tell them to recycle those bands, that you can refuse them? I never knew that.
Yes, they will recycle them. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So I have a red band that I used that I got for my annual pass, and I want to use that one until it falls off because it's red. It's got my name on it, the whole thing. So I can, you know, say I want my reservation hooked up to that. I want my, you know, so I can get in my door, my room that way. But, you know, I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake that they're spending so much time on packaging. They're generating all these, and they could save money. I also think that they were they made a mistake in not doing a proper job of educating their guests with magic bands and how things work. I mean, they could have taken some time, put some videos on there. I really think that the waste, the non-education, and the rolling out of the phases just happened too quickly, and I would have rather seen them do it slowly, make sure all the bugs are out one at a time before saying, okay, you can put your credit card on there, you can do this, you can do that.
Here's to add to that, just because I know, Mike, you normally get a room because you already have your annual pass. This is what happens with a client or someone that books direct with Disney. They get the magic band sent to them. They get them pretty quick. You get those pretty quick after you've paid in full on your package. You then get documents mailed to you. So you have a written document booklet that is mailed to you as well that gives you the same information you get on the screen with your vouchers for your free items of the package. But then you get another mailing that gives you your luggage tags for My Disney Experience, Magical Express.
Yeah, Magical Express.
So look at all the postage that's going on.
Right.
When they could all put it in the one box they're sending.
Because really, what's in that box but the magic band? That's it.
It's just the magic bands, and it's a humongous box. And think about it. Humongous box for two bands.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, and what you're talking about, too, is that there should be, like, I didn't know that I would not receive my magic band unless I paid in full. I didn't know that, you know. There are a lot of things that we don't know. Well, like two of us, I think Mike and Annette, I think you knew, but Len and I didn't know about the recycling, you know. And they also said you can bring in your old bands and say, hey, recycle these, you know, save some money.
Yeah.
Save some tires, right, or whatever they're using.
However, you know, if they make a great Christmas ornament. I think I can't wait to see the pictures of everybody's magic band trees where they've done the garland around the trees.
You're going to start to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the one thing I think that they can fix is this this thing that they've been doing lately with all of the different changes to the standby lines at Anna and Elsa, and then at the Frozen sing along in the studios, where they're completely, for weeks on end, they'll completely drop the standby line and make certain attractions just Fast Pass Plus only, or they'll start giving out Fast Pass Plus paper tickets for people to return. And the problem with that is that all of those things are gone instantly. So like for Anna and Elsa, if they go when they run the attraction as FastPass Plus only, the problem with it is it's a lottery system at that point. Right? No amount of getting up early and being first in the parks, no amount of effort is going to guarantee you a chance to see the princesses. It really comes down to like a lottery drawing, where if you're one of the lucky, you know, 1% of the people who are going to be in the park that day and you can get FastPass reservations, then you get to see Anna and Elsa. Otherwise, you don't. And the problem with that is that a lottery system is a random distribution is a terrible way to give out allocations. You'd rather give some access to people who are willing to wait in line. If somebody's said this before on the show, if somebody's willing to wait an hour to meet Anna and Elsa, they should be able to meet them. And it just drives me crazy when, number one, it drives me crazy that Disney changes the procedure every week because nobody can plan for it. But number two, to leave everything just up to chance is I think, a terrible way of allocating capacity to a theme park ride.
That's a good point. Very good point. It's amazing how many correctable mistakes we can come up with. I mean, it's like Monday morning quarterbacking, but you know, it's something that, you know, you hope that people learn from what they've seen and experienced, and you know, think things pretty thoroughly before they go any further. I'd like to go to Mike, but I'm going to go to Annette next. Annette, do you have one?
I'm going to add on to the magic bands just a little bit.
Okay.
Because this has been my frustration with paying with the magic bands.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the process, you give them your magic band, and they run off. And then they come back and they give you a piece of paper for you to do tip on it. I would so just rather have an iPad screen. You know, there's something about, they were trying to make it paperless. They were trying to make it convenient and easy for you. But now you have to maneuver your wrist. You get it done. And then they virtually are taking your room key in this computer over to the main computer to then charge your room to then come back for you to add on paper.
They took your, I don't remember them taking my magic band away.
Oh, they don't take your magic band. But what happens is in that handheld device that they bring to you,
right,
that they scan, it's virtually taking your room key. It just takes your magic band, puts it in their handheld device,
right,
to go over to the main computer to then put it through. That's how it was described to me by several cast members, that it's really the same as picking up your key and taking it over to swipe it.
Hmm.
Don't know, but I know that several of them had said that their iPad's coming. That was when this first started. But it just seems like your picture should be associated with it. I shouldn't have to walk around with my driver's license if this is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, for hands-free, it should have all that usage. And while I'm on it, I don't understand why they're not on the cruise ships.
You know, the cruise ships are interesting because they're only in port for a few hours at a time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to make that technology change,
you have to take the ship down for
18 months.
Yeah.
Well, and I know when I was on the Magic, they said that the crew was using them on the Magic when it came out. Before this last rehab, all the crew was walking around using magic bands testing it.
I got one for you too. They don't have it at Vero Beach. You can't use it at Vero Beach.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. And that's
well,
2 hours away.
Let's not even
away.
Talk about Disneyland.
it's like old school down there.
But it is. It just seems like that technology would have. I mean, yeah, we're complaining about how it is right now, but there's just seems some simple things. I mean, your ID, a picture of you. That seems pretty simple.
Pretty
you
simple.
Can associate that with your account.
Used to
but right
long,
now, I'm Cinderella.
Long time ago, the first time, the first couple of years, I had an annual pass. You had to have your photo taken at guest services with it.
Yes.
So your photo was right on there
on the ticket. I remember that. It was a terrible little. It wasn't
it was
black
horrible.
And white. It was like brownish gray. It was a weird color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
but,
that.
But, you know, it was a color. I mean,
right.
It was
a picture. It was a photo.
It was a picture, yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that's what I was looking for. I think that, you know, it was going to be hard to and we didn't talk about this before the show. We said, let's be spontaneous. I just thought of something. You know, sometimes a correctable mistake or it's not something that they did, but maybe it's something that they didn't do. I'll give you an example. I think it was 2010. I had an opportunity to chat a little bit with Ken Potruck, who is now, he's head of DVC, Disney by Adventures, and I think Disney Cruise Lines. And he told me that at one point they had plans to build a resort across from World of Sports, and they decided not to do it for some reason or another. And this was about 5 years ago, and I'm wondering if that was a mistake. If everything that they've been doing in, as far as building DVC resorts, I wonder if the payback on those construction projects, the return on investment, you might say, if that would have been much quicker, had they put together a package or a plan to build a sports-oriented resort right across from the World of Sports. With all the things that takes place, they did the rebranding of the World of Sports. Actually, this was on the weekend that they did the rebranding, but they changed it to red and black and everything. With all the things they hold down there, they hold a lot of AAU things. There's wrestling, there's cheerleader stuff. They could have had a captive athletic audience there, and I just think that was a mistake that they did not go ahead with that.
Oh, well, that would save so much time and so many buses going back and forth.
Yep.
From All Star Resorts.
Yep. Yep.
Mm.
Okay.
That goes along with the thing we talked about. It was a few episodes ago about maybe it was about a month ago about walking paths.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they know the problem with Atlan is that the problem is maintenance and also trash. People are pigs, you know?
Yeah, people are pigs. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, I always wonder when I've run through all the resorts, and usually people are pretty good, but if the path is off the beaten path, so to speak, there's a larger chance of you finding something that you don't want to find, you know, wrapper or stuff like that.
Can I hit on that, Mike? Real
sure.
quick. When I was at Saratoga Springs, this irked me to no end, and it really annoyed me. We were on a ground floor, so I had a little patio area, and around the patio area was brush. It was, you know, it was landscaped, but a lot of it was mulch. There were so many cigarette butts in this mulch. It was totally disgusting. I don't understand how people will throw their garbage out into the bush like that. I don't understand why people do that.
So they just stand around and then they just throw the cigarette butts in the air.
Yeah.
Well, they were smoking on the patio.
You shouldn't be smoking there, number one. But number two, right. Bring the cigarette butt inside and put it in the garbage. You know how dry it is in Florida sometimes?
Oh, my gosh. They're lucky they didn't start anything. Yeah. But it seems like a monsoon down there. But
it's filthy. I mean, because the landscaping is all nice. And then you have all this junk in there. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I always seem to find bottles of soda and stuff on the sidewalk on the way from Boardwalk over to Studios when you walk that.
Yeah.
Because you get kind of off the beaten path a little bit.
And plus, we're trying not to be overly negative, too. Things that they could fix. So we talked about the dining plan. We talked about Fastpass Plus. What about hotels? Is there anything they could fix at hotels? See, I think the bus service is actually pretty good at the hotels right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a lot there that I could. And there are certain things like, you know, the changes that they're doing at the Poly. I'm not sure that we can say, you know, these are little things that they can undo.
Well, you know, speaking to that point, Len, one of the things that I guess you could say is that rather than have them do 5, 6, or 7 construction projects, I would prefer that, you know, they would correct that mistake and say, you know, we're going to do the minimal amount so that we can complete them as quickly as possible rather than prolong the agony of the guests seeing green walls, green screens, and being inconvenienced. So I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to spread themselves thin like that, because I'm not sure if that's the best way to do business, because you're inconveniencing your customers. Downtown Disney, the Polynesian, the Magic Kingdom, it goes on and on. I really think that they should correct their tendency to do so much at once. I understand that progress is progress, and I applaud them for that, but I think there's a better way of doing it.
Huh. See, I think I'd rather just have all the construction done at once. I mean, I know for the next year we're going to see walls everywhere in every park, except for the studios, where we're just going to see things closed. But you know, I'm okay with it. Yeah, construction walls are the sign of progress. You know, did I get a little bit tired of it, like at DCA, where construction walls were up for, what was it, 15 years, 20 years?
Oh, my God. I remember
the race?
We ran the race past it, yeah.
That was the strangest feeling.
Take a left at the green wall. Which green wall?
Which green wall?
But when they lifted those walls,
it was like running the bulls. It was like, what?
Yeah, but you know, when they took them out, I mean,
yeah, but it was pretty good. Right? So,
I mean, that place has got plenty of space. I mean, yeah. So I don't know. I just think that I don't want them to completely stop. Obviously, I want progress, but I think that they just have too many projects going on at once, and it just.
I'll go back and do one more thing that I think they could fix, and it wouldn't be that hard to do. I'd like them to bring back actual people narrating on Living with the Land. Yes. I mean, I know that it's more consistent with the audio narration that's there now, but occasionally you'd get somebody who was really into it, and that sort of made the ride. And I know it's more expensive and stuff like that, and half the time you get a bunch of teenagers who are just mumbling through crap because it's their job, but
You know, a week ago I would have said the same thing for the Backlot tour because
it's
automated.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But now that since they're tearing it down, it doesn't matter. But I was shocked to see that. I didn't know that they had changed that over. That's how long it's been since I've been on it.
Funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun.
Chill. Okay. And this this show was brought to you by touringplans.com, and they there's nobody better to save you time, to save you money. They have trip planning tools that show you how to make the most of your day. The crowds are coming back to Disney. They've been back for about a year. You need to think about how valuable your time is. And if you go to touringplans.com, take a look at their crowd calendar, have them put together a special touring plan for you. If you use the special code ZUZU214, that's ZUZU2014, you get a special discount. Lena, what is that discount?
It's at 21%, because 20% is enough.
That's right, 21%. Now, where else can you get 21%? I challenge you to find another place, and you won't. TouringPlans.com. They value your time, and you should too. So, for Len Testa and Ed Owens, Mike Newell, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you next time.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.